Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, registered dietitian. And this week we are just continuing the interview with Dr. Kristen Lloyd. She's a highly accomplished psychotherapist, transformational mindset coach, college educator, and consultant. She's also a certified Reiki master, certified hypnotherapist, certified EFT tapping practitioner, and a best-selling author of her book, Bariatric Mindset Success and Release Your Regain. So if you haven't listened to part one of this conversation, I would encourage you to start there first and then finish up with the part two of this interview. In today's topic, motivation. I know what to do. Why don't I do it?
That's the thing is that, so there's the physical abuse, there's the sexual abuse, there's
emotional.
Yes. Like I have a client.
Verbal.
Yes. I have a client right now who's, her parents would give her the silent treatment as a child.
Yeah.
Like as a form of punishment. Like, so essentially what you grow up to internalize is not so much I'm invisible, but I don't matter. So you have that as a child. I don't matter. And here's another one. I don't matter.
Yeah.
And the thing, and I see this a lot, is women, because I work mostly with women.
Yeah.
Women whose mothers put them on diets at 5 and 7 and 9.
Yep. Pick an age. It doesn't matter. They did it.
And, and the diet started early.
Yep.
And so their worth was equated. So now we're trying to pull apart. Your worth is not equal to the scale. They cannot conceptualize it, because when you've been told that your entire life, your worth is equal. So then what you create is a dynamic of a fight with food, because food in a lot of ways is a socially acceptable outlet, right? And it's, absolutely, and it's commercialized. Bridget Jones' Diary is my favorite example, where she goes through her breakup and she's having, I don't remember if it was Haagen-Dazs or Ben and Jerry's. Very like, and we're not going to get out of food a celebration. We're not, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
But when you work with somebody who's lost 40, 50 pounds and their spouse takes them out to dinner, it creates a different dynamic, because, and I'm getting, you know, but then food is reward. And it really disrupts a change in how they see food and how they interact with food and their relationship with themselves, validating, nurturing or not versus escaping. But then the other part is eat this, right? So cultures, depending on your culture, eat this. Why aren't you eating? Da 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 da. And then don't get fat. Right. Eat, 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 don't get fat. Eat, 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 don't get fat. Yep. So it's really disruptive.
Yeah. So confusing.
It's so confusing.
Yeah.
And then your worth potentially is equal to your weight.
Yeah.
You're not worthy unless you're over here. And then there's multiple levels of that societally.
Yeah.
Don't speak up. You know, that we have right now, what we have is a whole generation of women. Yeah. And I say these four phrases and they're all like, yes, children should be seen and not heard. Don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about. Like trying to, maybe that was just it, but it's like, you know, don't be seen. Don't use your voice. Don't speak up. Be quiet, be demure, be. So we have these, I'm going to use the word codependent, but not everybody is. But essentially, we have a whole lot of people who are like, how can I take care of you? And I grew up Catholic, so let's just throw that in there too, right? Where it's like, you must suffer. You must have pain. You have no value unless you're, you know, it's like.
Right.
So how do you.
More confusing.
How do you navigate?
Yeah. Right.
And now you're taking away my binky?
Yeah, right. The only thing that has sustained me through life.
So all of that to say,
yeah,
I know what to do. Why don't I do it?
Yep.
Pick one.
Yeah.
Because it's terrifying to look inward when you've never, your entire, how you've been validated is through the lens of what you do for others.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've been protecting by avoiding your own authenticity, integrity, and any knowledge of self.
Right.
Your whole, how you've lived your life is by rejecting self-care at its most basic. Sure, you can go get your nails done. You can go get your hair done. You can get a massage, but we know, Dawn, that's not authentic self-care.
No, right.
Your focus is on the very basic pleasure, which isn't actually, it's such a little pleasure, because here's the other thing. I'm not allowed to feel or receive, because the caveat is waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And not fully allowing in joy or real pleasure, real pleasure, which there's levels of pleasure.
Yeah.
Because of the focus of others, but am I worth it? So there's a pattern of self-esteem and unworthiness.
Yeah.
But if you're busy focused on everybody else,
you're not even.
Of course, the only pleasure is whatever you can steal.
Yeah.
In the short term.
Yeah. You pick those massages and those nails and the hair because.
But you go home to what?
Yeah. The same thing.
Or you go to a shift and your heart's breaking. Because you haven't learned how to put properly, it's not just boundaries. It's like protect yourself. You know, if you're somebody who's highly empathetic.
Yeah.
And there's, you go to work and you have a patient, if we're talking about nurses.
Yeah.
And you see horrible stuff and you carry it. You don't know how to put your stuff down.
Yeah.
And you've not dealt with the stuff that you endured.
Yeah.
And you're invisible. Yes. And then, so if it's a choice of going to the cafeteria and getting French fries or, you know, eating your, I don't know, chicken and veggies for lunch, where are people turning? Because it's
so interesting. I mean, so if someone is, so this is them, we're talking about their life. They have a lot of baggage from their past. They maybe work in an environment where they get stuck in freeze because there's trauma, because they are in healthcare or they're in some type of service industry where they see bad things or they experience
secondary trauma, bad things, secondary trauma. It's some maybe, you know, where we say primary traumas, they happen to them. Secondary trauma happens in healthcare where you're witnessing it.
Yeah.
So for the physiological trauma piece, somatic experiencing, finding a working with a somatic, experiencing practitioner.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
For doing something I mentioned earlier, parts work.
Yeah.
Is going to be huge, very important. It's called IFS, internal family systems.
Yeah.
I think that's important for getting it. I use the term the inner child, right? But it could be an inner adolescent. It could be an inner 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And that's another way to look at and deal with trauma in terms of different parts of the self, right? So sometimes when we talk about sabotage, there could be a part of you that's rebelling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is important to look at why or what part of you, I know what to do. And yeah, I had this, but why am I struggling with this very specific pattern?
Yeah.
Often with IFS is people are stuck in a feedback loop. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily a habit loop, but a feedback loop based on the trauma.
Okay.
And so they're very IFS, internal family systems, talks about unburdening the exile. So the exile is the part of you that is that traumatized part of you. And there are like protectors or gatekeepers that kind of protect that part of you from being vulnerable.
Yeah.
And then the firefighter is the part that comes in. Whenever there's a trigger, the firefighter is the one that engages in what we would call the alternative behavior, because it's not always eating, right? It could be Amazon shopping or drinking alcohol or gambling or, right? Because we know that those things exist. And this is something that is used with addictions. It's used with trauma. So IFS, yes, can cognitive behavioral therapy, I think, DBT over DBT, dialectical behavior therapy, is a form of CBT. Okay. I would pick DBT over CBT all day long because mm-hmm. of the four components of DBT: interpersonal effectiveness,
mm-hmm.
emotion regulation.
Okay.
I work with peeps all the time that literally say to me, I have no idea what I'm feeling. Yeah. I have no idea, no idea.
Right.
I have worksheets where I go through, the 11 core emotions. I have emotions lists. Even with emotion lists, they need to put almost like a match. Fear looks like this, or this is what it looks like when, it's almost like they have to do a match. Disgust shows up. This is where sadness shows up. This is where anger is a big one. I've met a lot of people afraid to be angry.
Oh, wow.
They're afraid of exploding because that also violates the good girl.
Very true. Yep.
So interpersonal effectiveness, emotion regulation, mindfulness skills.
Okay.
Distress tolerance is the fourth one.
Okay.
So the other thing, I have a whole training in my group program on low frustration tolerance. Frustration tolerance is something that comes both with depression and ADHD executive functioning issues.
Okay.
So I talk about and teach different skills to work through low frustration tolerance, because what I see, and I don't talk about it in terms of learned helplessness, but a lot of times what happens is people experience a stressor and they get to a point and then they're like, I can't do this anymore. Instead of working through a point of resilience.
Yeah.
Instead of, because the idea of growth is to work through. And
right.
So I'll talk a lot about post-traumatic growth. Mm-hmm. We've heard about post-traumatic stress disorder, post-traumatic stress symptoms.
Yeah.
But there's also resilience. And we've seen, you've probably seen the memes. I don't want to be resilient, especially after COVID. I'm done with being resilient.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
We also need to look at post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
And the transformation. The trauma that we went through, mm-hmm. or that different bariatric patients have gone through, right? It's not your fault. I get it. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
The wound is not our fault.
Right.
But the healing,
yeah,
that's our responsibility.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't just end there. We all have the compassion, have the empathy, and we get to choose when to do that healing.
Right.
What's not purposeful is the shame and the blame from not being ready. Because sometimes we need to get ready to get ready to do that work.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's many times that, you know, you do like a questionnaire. A lot of times I'll ask, you know, readiness to change questions, you know, where are you in this process to know, is this really a good time to work with me? I mean, are you ready to really commit and do things?
Right.
And it's interesting because usually the answers are all yes, 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 you know, or all fives, you know, yes, I'm ready out of, you know, I'm ready to do this. And then you start doing things and then they're like, well, wait, maybe not that. I'm not ready to do that. So it's, I don't know.
Have you seen the little, and I literally posted this in my group yesterday, my group of the women who are in my group program. It's this little GIF or GIF.
Yeah.
This little boy, like a toddler, where he's like running forward. And then all of a sudden he's like, and he like turns around and runs back. And I see that too. I see that too. And so where I challenge people is, I don't challenge them with empathy, but I show up with the empathy and the compassion to say, I know this is hard. I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
And this isn't an expectation.
Yeah.
To be here.
Right.
If you're not ready to do this work, which is what you wanted to, this is what you came here for. You came to go from here. I don't even know if this is going to be visual or not, but it's like from here to here.
Yes.
Right. But you're actually here. You're way back here.
Yeah.
Not because I said so, but because the steps that you need to take here, you're not willing to take or you're not ready to take.
Yep.
And blaming and shaming is not going to, it's not, I'm like, babe, it's not going to get you there. Like, it's just not. So you've got to be okay with emotionally, you know, coming back to this place to examine your own readiness of who am I? Like, what can I commit to?
Yes, realistically, yes, that you would take some baby steps in the right direction at least.
And zero judgment, but I feel like I have to say this just because it's like, it's like, you can't be here and eat chicken nuggets and mac and cheese every day and have an expectation or be pissed off that you're not losing weight. Like, I love you so much. there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, to be in that reality, and I've had, and it's like, okay. So we've got to go back here because if there's, it, it's, it is about the food, but it's not about the food.
Nope, and right. So
if you're not ready to change that, then what we need to work on is your emotional attachment to that thing.
Yep.
What does it mean? What are you getting from it?
Yeah.
Because it may not be ready to let that go, and that's okay. But you also need to let go of the fight of trying to push your body into submission.
Yep.
Because it's not.
No, you, the expectations do not line up with the behaviors or the readiness for those behaviors.
Correct.
You are just maybe just not ready. You're just not.
That's okay.
And that's okay. I think, do you find that people have a hard time kind of even understanding?
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes because there is, I want it.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to say something very controversial.
Okay.
In the wake of the new medications.
Oh, I'm glad you did. I was wanting to talk about this.
In the wake of the new medication, I think there are some people, undoubtedly, yep, who really need it.
100%.
And I also think that there are people who are, I'm going to use the word, emotionally bypassing because they're not ready to address their internal psychological, emotional attachment to food, or even their attachment to drama. I'm going to use the term drama, but it could be as a result of trauma.
Okay.
And again, the trauma is not their fault, but their attachment to the drama through their own healing process is their responsibility to look at, okay,
yep,
what's showing up here? What pattern is that a part of? And it's easier. It's a tool. The medication is a tool, but it's easier to say, you know what, give me that thing, then let me go to therapy.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Right.
If. The other thing is, and you may know this, if this is stepping over, let me know.
Yeah. No, you're good.
There are probiotics.
Oh, yeah.
That are really available.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years that increased GLP-1. They're a lot cheaper.
Yeah. I think we track the same with this, the new medication or the newly promoted, we'll say. They're not necessarily brand new, new to market. There are newer ones and there are newer ones coming to market. And to me, there's a time and a place for all these tools in the right scenario. Because for some people, I find that that is maybe the only tool that if they don't want a surgery, but they want something to help bridge them to the other side.
Absolutely.
That's when you take advantage of that. But
I mean, I had surgery. I've used the tool. I've worked my tool. I've had regain from hormones, from trying to get pregnant.
Yep.
I decided it's time to pivot, right? Like, and so, and my tool still works.
Right.
Surgery, like my tool still works. Yep. I had to pivot. I had to work on, okay, all of the things.
Yep.
And so that's a very deeply personal thing. And to make a choice when you're going through this, what I mean by this is to make a choice whether to get on the medication. It can be prescribed to you and you still have an opportunity to make a choice. Or I'm sure that there are some people who are asking for it. There's some people who they're hesitant about it. Like there's a lot of different scenarios.
Yes.
the thing that I'm apprehensive about is the research that says once you're on it, correct me if I'm wrong, because you probably know more, that you can't really get off or else.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are some people that are noticing that they can maintain loss.
Okay.
That is, to me, that's the genetic piece. If I had the genetics and if I could connect the dots of, you know, where they struggle with their symptoms and all of that, you put all of those pieces together, you know, those are the people that probably have the genetics that they can lose weight from exercise. They can lose weight from following good nourishing food as the majority of the time and staying away from the packaged processed, ultra processed foods. You know, those are the things that aren't going to serve us with a healthy weight. So to me, I think some of those people that can maintain a loss, could they have potentially achieve that outside of the medication? Maybe if they probably had their hormones evaluated, they were addressing their sleep, they were addressing their stress levels, and they were really looking at the whole body. They were putting right. The whole body as one unit, then right. I think maybe some of those people could have maybe done it without the medication.
Right.
Because they weren't, again, that is healthcare. We are in a model where we don't look at the body as one system. So no one's asking, do you even sleep 7 hours a night? And if you sleep 7 hours a night, how good of quality of sleep did you get? And how do you manage your stress? No one's asking those questions at your physician's office. None.
Yeah.
So again, I think you get into those scenarios. To me, it's a great tool, but right now I think it's an easy way for people to think and get confused that, oh, you can't lose weight without that tool. Look at all these people who are losing weight, and that's the only way that you can lose weight. That's where I struggle.
I'm going to give a plug.
Yeah.
To strength training.
Yes.
Because I,
for sure,
when I pivoted for me,
yeah.
I had zero expectations. I had zero, there was no, I'm going to lose X by Y. There wasn't that. It was, the focus was on being healthier for longevity.
Absolutely.
And then when people started asking me, what are you doing? I'm strength training. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, and kind of giving myself some more boundary, like give it, you know, I don't talk with clients on this, but I have no problem with the world knowing. I also follow a 16-8.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes a 10, 14-10.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not rigid about it though.
Yeah.
I listen to my body.
Yeah.
But that's the other piece is, if you, I may be bordering on another very controversial thing, but I am not a huge proponent of teaching intuitive eating right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Of my clients cannot intuitively eat. Otherwise, they would intuitively eat three boxes or three bags of chips or cakes or popcorn because they are not attuned. And it's really, really hard to, because that I went pre-op to an intuitive eating nutritionist who was there's nothing wrong with Cheerios, Kristen. You've got a problem if you're eating the whole box. Like, you've got a problem if you're eating the whole box.
Yeah.
Like, and so that's where really being attuned to your physiology.
Yep.
Because you can't intuitively eat if you're emotionally eating.
Yep.
What is my specialty? Emotional eating, meaning helping people to heal from emotional eating.
Yeah.
You can't just, I feel that sometimes it's shaming people to say, just intuitively.
Yeah.
But you, if you have been taught based on everything we just said,
yeah,
that you've been taught to cut yourself off from your feelings, yeah, from your body, from your emotions, from your needs, from your core needs.
Yep.
That's a foreign concept.
Yep.
You've got to go way back to learning basic, we're not even talking eating cues.
No. Like
basic cues. Yep. I've got folks that one of the things that I'll do, this is where somatic experiencing helps, is I'll say, I just want you to touch your fingers together.
Yeah.
You just tell me, can you feel this? Can you be present just right here? Or wiggle your toes and feel your toes on the floor. Very basic.
Yeah.
And then they're there and then they're off again. And that's okay.
Right.
But this whole movement into intuitive eating way too fast for some folks. And then there's a lot of shame that comes up.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. Because they felt like they probably failed at even being able to do that. So you're right back to where you started.
Well, yeah, because then it's like, well, I could intuitively eat a dozen donuts.
Right.
Because that's what they think intuitive eating is, but it's not.
Not. Right. Yeah. That's where I would say I have issues with moderation, everything in moderation.
Operational definition. I think because here's the thing, moderation for one person as a term is, okay, well, I'm allowed to have ice cream sometimes. When is sometimes? Every Tuesday and Thursday? Like, I need to know what sometimes is. Like, we have to, that's where, because yep. I used to tell myself, you know, I can have pizza sometimes. Dawn, I eat pizza 5 days a week prior to surgery. Like, not right before surgery, but like when I was in grad school.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was, whoa. And right. And so the thing was, is I had no concept that I'm lying to myself.
No, right. Yep.
Because you can have it sometimes, right? It's okay to have sometimes. Right. When sometimes becomes every day and you're not conscious of the lies that you're telling yourself.
Yep.
Or tomorrow. I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start tomorrow. By the way, I'm going to start Monday. Oh, it's Monday. Okay. I'll start tomorrow.
Right.
Like,
I think there's a time and a place after someone has done the work, the mental, the emotional work, then they've, you know, kind of graduated through mindful.
Yes.
Presence. They're mindful of their feelings, their emotions. They have, maybe, I don't believe
attachments. The attachment. Now, attachment in this term, what I mean by attachment is if it's still my precious.
Yes. You know,
if it's still you're highly attached.
Yeah.
You're very attached. And so is that something that you can trust yourself with?
Correct.
Is there any self-trust, or does it create a fear response of, well, I have to get it all now because I'm never going to get it again. And it creates almost like that famine.
Yeah.
Frenzy.
All or nothing type mindset. Mm-hmm. Black and white. There's no gray. It's complex.
It's very complex.
Yeah. And it's going to take a lot of work.
It's going to take a lot of work.
Whether you have bariatric surgery, whether you use a medication.
I think the main thing is really looking at, and being honest with yourself, not even about the food. I think I meet a lot of people who are really struggled with food journaling.
Okay.
Because of the shame and because of diet mentality, because of all or nothing.
Yeah.
My thing that I say is it's just data. It's just a data point.
Yep.
It's just data.
Yep.
And it is giving you information. And if you're unwilling or you create meaning out of that information that is used to self-harm, like shame,
yep,
then you're also an active, you're complicit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's another word we're using a lot of different, you're complicit in self-harm.
Right.
Because you're not willing to see that there's a pattern, even if you're using it as a coping mechanism, even if it's a protection mechanism, the thing is, there's such a lack of empathy for self.
Yeah.
And just the word compassion, Dawn, I have folks that they're in the healthcare field. What is compassion? And I use Kristen Neff's compassion is not equal to indulgence. She's a compassion researcher, I believe in Texas, Kristen Neff. She runs the compassion center, right? Okay. Compassion is not indulgence. Compassion is giving yourself the same kindness. The same empathy you would to someone else, but it's usually not
returned to yourself.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You can give it, you can give it away. You just can't accept it from yourself or maybe even from others.
Which has to do with that core wound of, you know, self-rejection, self-abandonment, self-neglect.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as humans, do we not have to at some point, regardless of how horrible our upbringing was,
the self-preservation.
At some point, we have to pause and say, what am I going to do to change where I'm at and where I'm going? And if you never get to that awareness that even needs to occur, the ability for you to lose and maintain weight at the level you mentally or you are expecting to, it's probably unlikely if you're not willing to deal with some of those past hurts.
I've seen people lose and maintain weight, Dawn.
But they're not healthy.
They're not healthy.
Right. 100% agree. Seen that too many times. No.
Because the patterns, they may have maintained or have lost the weight.
But they, yep. The weight. And I will say again, this whole genetic testing and all of that has really opened my eyes because, you know, you wonder for those patients, even who've had bariatric surgery, who have the genetics that they can lose from changing their diet and their lifestyle. And they were just never offered any input or guidance in the direction of really supporting their body and how it truly functions with their hormones and their sleep and all of that. And so they did surgery. And then later you find out that maybe we could have done a different direction, but here they are. So maybe those people who maybe don't have their diet or their exercise dialed in after bariatric surgery, but yet they maintain a loss.
But that could have also been, I don't know, like the first thing I'm thinking is if they're sleeping well, and they're not stressed and they're not
having, and the inflammation is gone. We've lowered, we've gotten rid of the inflammation. Yeah. All those things shift.
I noticed 2 years ago around this time, 2021. I had gotten sick, but not COVID, head cold.
Yeah.
And my biggest struggle up until that point with food was the creamer in my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, My coffee has been my precious, right?
Yeah.
And I could not figure out, I didn't like almond creamer. I don't like coconut milk. It didn't feel the same. It didn't taste the same.
Yeah.
And I had gotten ready to get ready to say, okay, self, we're going to do, I don't want congestion and mucus. So are we on board?
Yeah.
Release the half and half. Like right. It sounds like release the Kraken, like release the half and half.
Yeah. Okay.
So 1 week became two, became a month.
Yeah.
In 30 days, I lost 30 pounds.
Nah.
20 pounds. Sorry, 20 pounds. And I saw my doctor and he's like, 350 calories because I was having about a half a cup.
Yeah.
He was like, that's not going to do that. But inflammation, you could be losing inflammation weight.
Yeah.
And since then, I've probably had coffee creamer, the amount of one hand, because it doesn't, shocker, it doesn't feel good. I think I want a cappuccino. I really want a cappuccino.
Yep.
I just drink it black with stevia, or like an Americano with water. Yep. I'm like, I really, really want a cappuccino. So I'll make it a little one and I'll have a couple sips. And my body is like, nope, we're not available for this.
Yeah.
It's not lactose. It's just, that's not as dreamy as I thought it would be up here.
Yep.
The fantasy.
Yep. But how your body feels from how that food made you feel is,
So I'm like, so long, and it goes in the sink, and then we move on. Right. And so when I say food attachment, I know that the soothing, yummy, wrap yourself in a blanket with that coffee and that cream meant so much for me. And I've adjusted. It's been 2 years. I've adjusted. Do I still want it every once in a while? Do I try it in a little bitty cup?
Yeah.
But I also, the attunement,
yep.
teaching that attunement of listening versus bulldozing.
Yeah.
And it's made a huge, huge shift in not just my weight.
Yeah.
But I'm sure in my gut as well.
Absolutely. Yep. Digestion, your gut health. Yeah. Yeah. All of those things play a role. And then again, when you dig into the gut health, you're talking inflammation and motility. And I mean, there's just so many pieces that get discounted because it's not really a thing in conventional healthcare to really address those. They don't even have time to address the small symptoms you do experience on how to deal with them. Yeah. So
I don't tell people don't drink milk, do this, don't do that. That's not my stuff, but I do ask them to question.
Yeah.
When you eat this, what do you notice in your body?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have the same skill set you do to address that. I don't have the, this could mean this or this could mean this.
Right.
But I will say, are you attuned? Are you tuning in? What do you notice?
Yeah.
How
do foods make you feel? When it comes down to it, your body is telling you something.
It's also the nuanced when not everyone with trauma, but there are certain people, it's not even specific to a certain trauma. It's, are they able to be in their body long enough to pay attention? One of the things I learned, I have gone through half of the somatic experiencing training.
Okay.
So what I learned in that, in some of my, in my introductory year, was one of the things that shows up in terms of that interoception, tuning into the body, is when people are, I'm using the word dissociated, but what I really mean is when they're not connected, when they're not tuned in to what's showing up, because that's, it's too scary to be here if the trauma happened. An example is like sexual trauma.
Yeah.
Sexual trauma victims would, you know, dissociate. They're not there when it's happening because that was safer to leave their bodies.
Yeah.
So one of the things that shows up is they do, there's a struggle with hunger. They don't know when they're hungry, which also shows up actually, interestingly, with people who have executive functioning issues. Like there's a whole realm of eating and ADHD is, okay, I'll eat later, because there's some that can happen with hyper-focus, but it's also, it's separate from the reason or behind it, the trauma. The other piece is the urge to urinate or defecate. The urge,
it
comes on sharply because they're not attuned with their bodies.
Yeah.
And so if you've ever worked with someone who's like, oh my gosh, I have to pee so bad. Now, is it that they've noticed for the last 30 minutes and they just haven't said anything?
Right.
Or is it that they haven't noticed the onset?
Yeah.
And so that's another huge cue of, am I able to, it's not just mindfulness. Mindfulness being in the present, but noticing bodily sensations, different ballgame.
Yeah. It's really kind of a powerful way to, if you just pause and really be in tune with.
If you can.
If you can, yes. And getting into that, learn, if you can't, if you're like, okay, I don't
and
know.
And that's where there needs to be some somatic experiencing training.
Yeah.
Because that can even be activating to say, hey, be in your body. It's like,
yeah, that's true.
So I would just, that's where my only caution is, if you're really struggling with being in your body, that may be where you need, you're not going to go to a run of the mill, like, hey, I need therapy, I have trouble being in my body. It's like, you really need somebody who's well-versed in somatic experiencing.
Okay.
Or a form of somatic therapy.
Okay. Okay. So they can get the healing so that they can actually feel the feelings.
Right.
And then they can have that awareness to food.
And other things.
And life. Yes. Things in life. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm sure you've heard, like, when the body keeps score, when the body says no, like, these are great hot topic books right now, and they all go back to the body. And I think maybe we were discussing this in our email exchange potentially, but it also, you know, another word, I promise not to go down on a rabbit hole, but this is also where that psychoneuroimmunology comes in, or this, is that mind body connection.
Mm-hmm.
That mind body health it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
A lot of times people, you know, CBT is top down, but a lot of body-based somatic interventions are bottom up.
Okay.
And there's a lot more bottom up information. You know, there's a lot, our body is constantly informing us, but if we're like, hey, I'm not available for that, my sign is turned off.
Yep.
We're not going to be receiving that powerful information.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to know what to do with it. But our bodies are constantly communicating with us beyond I'm full or I'm hungry.
Yep. Yeah. So interesting. I mean,
not maybe where you thought we were going to go, but
no, I all like good.
Wanted to bring in some other things because it's deep.
It is. It is. And I think especially the bariatric community, this,
I'm feel just like, laughing because I can't tell you, can you just tell me how to lose weight?
I know. I know.
Can you just tell me how to lose weight? I love you so much. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't
work that way. At least not my exploration of it.
No, no, heck no, no. Yeah, and that, and I get that though. I mean, as a female and a mother of four, and you know, working mom. I mean, it is hard to not ignore your needs, you know, and really do the work. And I would say I noticed that, and not even having the education really behind it, I did observe that because. Working at a large bariatric center, we did, I mean, I've seen tens of thousands of them. And it was, you got to see trends. You got to see similarities in how certain people responded after surgery. And that is one that it was like, okay, yeah, they needed some support way before they got to this surgery.
I will not usually see the folks that are smooth sailing. They're, even to use that word, moderation, like that. I don't see those. Like, I don't see the folks who are doing the things. Why would they need me? They wouldn't. So I see the folks who are struggling with body image, with behaviors, with essentially, who am I? They usually don't say that. Yeah. It usually is a function of what are you going to get from losing the weight? How happy are you? Where do you find meaning in your life? What's showing up? How is this journey going to grow you? And they're like, oh my gosh, what do you mean? You know, it's,
I just wanted to lose weight.
It's like, okay. Again, the folks that have gotten there, usually it's not when, it's sometimes a matter of time where they're not able to maintain or sustain due to depression, anxiety, the underlying core issues that bring them back.
Yeah. It was there prior.
It was always there. And it was, I see the folks who self-soothe with food, and that is their primary coping mechanism. And they struggle with, this is another thing I did a training on lately, adulting. They struggle with adulting. They struggle with life skills. And this is not a negative thing. It's just that the MO has been, give everybody else the best of you and you take what's left over.
So then they have, nothing left to grow themselves or get them to a place that they can get what they're seeking.
Even to the point of the weight loss.
Right. Because if they, because at some point, if they can't come to that awareness that this is where it has to start.
Right.
To get to this end result.
Right.
That seems like forever. And I have a trip in 3 months and I needed this to be resolved. That's the long play. I want the short play.
Now I do see some folks that are, okay, they're struggling with, let's say, symptoms of executive functioning. And so, okay, let's work on that. Let's work on mood. Let's work on, you know, what's fun, what's gonna get you into action. And so I do see some that are on the mild spectrum, but once they get into a groove and start using those tools, they will take off. It is helpful. for them to also navigate self-talk, perseverance, recognize self-talk is huge, recognizing their own patterns. And they use those skills. They create new habits. They make, you know, everybody has their own cycle. Like, it's not to say that it's just, it's straight shot. It's not.
Yeah.
But they're taking off faster, let's say.
Yeah.
Than the folks who have more of the inner work to do.
Yeah.
And it's the other thing that I won't ever say to someone, you have to do this before you do this, because I tend to look at healing as a spiral. Some things are going to come back around and come back around and come back around, and you could feel great in your weight and where you are, and you're still, you may still be doing some healing, or you may say, okay, I need to check out of my healing right now.
Yeah.
And your weight's maintained. And then you may realize a little while later, I'm not happy with where I am emotionally, internally, with life, or with my body. Okay, so it's going to take many iterations.
Yeah. Yeah. To get what they're truly desiring, to get to the place.
And now I'm giving you a very, like, we haven't talked about autoimmune disorders. Haven't talked about complex autoimmune disorders.
Yeah.
I see folks who have, and again, I don't work with them on this, but I have folks that are low FODMAP, gluten-free, that have, dairy free, or
where they have, their body is reactive to many foods, that really it's not all, but their nervous system is contributing to this
IBS, PCOS,
I'm the nutrition side of that.
Right.
I have those people that they can't tolerate but five foods. And it's like, okay, this is not where you need to be.
And how many of them are angry because it wasn't you, but somebody took away their precious. Like,
yeah, right.
Absolutely. And having to navigate the emotional side of that.
Yeah. Yes.
Having flares.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because at some point, to me, there's no way that if somebody is that reactive to food, that they truly don't have but a couple of handfuls of options to eat from on a daily basis, that your nervous system isn't involved. But I get it. Sometimes you need a low FODMAP diet to transition through those phases to support someone so they can at least eat something, because these work together.
They work together.
They work together. So yes, yes, indeed. So, all right. This has been awesome. So this is great. I have enjoyed, we've had a very good conversation.
I hope this serves your audience.
Oh, exactly. Yes, it will. So before we end, how can people find you? So where are the, like, a website, or how, if somebody was like, okay, I need to work with you, or I need some of your books or some of your courses or e-guides or something, where can they get more from you?
So my website is Bariatric Mindset Success. So all one phrase, www.bariatricmindsetsuccess.com.
Okay.
Instagram at Bariatric Mindset, Facebook, Bariatric Mindset. I don't really use Twitter that much. But if somebody really, I haven't posted there in a very long time, it's Bari Mindset. But I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I have not delved into TikTok yet, but it's at Bariatric Mindset. I have a YouTube, Bariatric Mindset.
Okay.
And then the books, all of my books are on Amazon.
Awesome.
And Audible.
Okay.
And so both of my books are on Audible. And so you can,
if you were to type in bariatric mindset or Kristen Lloyd into Amazon, you'd be able to find them. And then I also have workbooks, a coloring book, and
awesome. Yeah, that I think that's awesome. That gives people even a starting point. Get your book, read your book, maybe do a workbook.
And I've got free courses. I have a couple of different free courses on my website. So it's a lot. This stuff that I've been talking about today, I would say is newer because it's a lot more integrated. Some of the stuff that I have on my website is definitely very mind focused, which is still good, great stuff.
Yeah.
But I would say my newer stuff is really integrating the body, the mind, body, the body, mind.
Yep. Yep. Which is awesome. I love that. Yeah. So I think it's awesome if you have tools and resources. So thank you so much, Dr. Lloyd. I have enjoyed this conversation
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Hopefully we can maybe chat again. We'll find another topic down the road that we can divulge into and have some fun with.
Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.